All right, did we get that recording in progress note? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's get started. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us. Or for those who are going to listen to this thing tomorrow, your Wednesday, welcome to the Season 10 Conference Tourney Results and Bracket Reveal. I'm really grateful to be joined by Kennesaw State's head coach and resident bracketologist, Matt. Matt, thanks again for taking the time to do this. It really wasn't the same without you going solo for the preseason recording. So thank you again.
My pleasure to be here. It felt weird not to be on that podcast.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's the only time that you'll be missing in action, since I don't think I can carry a show by myself and no one wants to hear this voice for that long a period of time again. But before we get into it, so a couple of ground rules for those of you listening in. There is a presentation that's accompanying this tonight, so I'll post a link to it in the Discord and on Twitter as well after this is over, but we'll do my best to read out the results in a way that's enjoyable, whether you're in front of a screen or not. For the coaches who have joined live, Matt and I are going to do our thing until the end, and then after we've revealed the bracket, would love for coaches to stick around, talk through everything they've seen, their feelings, predictions, whatever you got. We're definitely here for it. Please, if you're in the Zoom, rename yourself to the team that you coach so we know who you are and can avoid getting Zoom bombed or whatever it's called. And that just happened a few minutes ago again. We'll try to get to requests to unmute at the end or maybe even throughout if Matt and I see it, who knows. And then please bear with Matt and I as we go through this, and me in particular. This is only the second time that I'm trying to drive the presentation plus do a voiceover. So first draft's final draft, there might be some errors in this deck too, but it's to be expected since try to put this thing together, the past day or so. All right, I think that's it for me. Matt, anything else to add before we jump into it?
No, let's get it going. I'm excited.
Me too. Well, I guess before we jump into the conference tournament results, let's talk through what to look for and what you're predicting as we get into those results. Yeah, who's really hoping all the favorites will win out and nothing crazy happens? What do you have for us?
Yeah. So as you can see here, some teams are not projected to get their auto bid that could potentially be on the bubble. I'm looking at teams like St. Bonaventure, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Baylor. Currently my last four in, I have Indiana State, Xavier, Abilene Christian, Hofstra. First four out, and then I've got Georgia, Alabama, Virginia Tech, New Mexico, and then other teams I'm kind of watching: Arizona State, Gonzaga, Eastern Michigan, Indiana, Mississippi State, Georgetown, Kentucky, Murray State, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Temple, Wright State, Western Michigan, and Kansas. And if you're the number one seed in your conference tournament and your SOR is around a school like this, one of these guys, then you're on the bubble if you don't win. So just be very, very careful.
Yeah, I love how many conferences are represented here and some names that we haven't traditionally seen, even like a Murray State. But obviously, if Abilene Christian's coach is listening in, we know that he's had a pretty remarkable season. And as of now, is one of the last four in. So we'll see where he stands after this thing's over. But yeah, why don't we jump into conference tournament results? So this is context again. I will try to give context to each conference and some of what happened this season before we actually read the results out. So for the A-10, St. Joe's ran through the competition going 15-1 and holding the number one ranking for a time even in the entire sim. Four teams seem like they're tourney locks in St. Joe's, Radford, Lafayette, and St. Louis, while St. Bonaventure has a 40 SOR, so one of the quarters could go a long way towards staying off the bubble. And as Matt had on that last illustration, St. Bonnie's, I believe, was a last four bye. So the first round, those Bonnies did lose to St. Louis and their first-year coach, and Radford also doesn't help their seed line by losing in the first round. In the semis, St. Joe's and Lafayette get by their semi matchups, and we get the 1-2. A Lafayette team that didn't match its top 10 preseason rating, but a chance to redeem itself. And we do not. We lose a close one to St. Joe's, who sweeps the regular season and conference tournament titles. Matt, does that sew up a one seed for St. Joe's? And what do you think happens to the Bonnies?
Yeah, I think that definitely sews up a a number one seed for St. Joe's. They've been consistently near the top all season. St. Bonaventure, oh man, that's a tough loss, but at least that loss came to a solid St. Louis team. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get him in. It's just going to depend on what happens around him.
Well, I don't know if St. Bonaventure's coach is in Discord or not. I don't think I've interacted with them, but they put together a nice season. I think they outperformed their preseason roster rating relative to the rest of the conference. So we'll see how many bids the A-10 gets, but a couple that are firmly in the field, and we'll see if there's some extra ones that come in after these results are over. Let's get to the ACC, where Duke went 15-1 in the regular season. What was a really competitive league. They had an SOR of 6. Teams like Virginia Tech are right in the bubble with an SOR 51. So that 1-8 game is an opportunity or a dagger, depending on the result. Pitt was 6-10 in the conference, but has a 62 SOR. So maybe there's an outside hope for them. Florida State and Louisville both outperformed their ratings as they were preseason 5th and 8th, but finished 4th and 5th respectively. So in the first round, we do get the 1-8 upset. Virginia Tech cements its footing on the bubble with a win. Florida State wins the 4-5 against Louisville. Clemson beats a top 15 rated UNC team, and Wake beats UVA. In the semis, Virginia Tech wins again, this time against FSU, while Wake wins a nail biter against Clemson. And in the final, would Virginia Tech just not even leave it to the committee and get the auto bid? They do not. They finally run out of gas, and Wake takes the title as the 2 seed, 74-62. Matt, is Virginia Tech in? Do any seed lines change here in your mind based on the results?
I think Virginia Tech is clearly in the tournament. I mean, they were right on the outside looking in, and they beat going into the tournament the number 6 and number 7 SOR before losing to number 10. I think that they're clearly in the tournament. As opposed to seed lines, like, I mean, you got to look at Duke. I mean, they are 6 coming in, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep a top 2 seed with a loss to the 51st rated team coming into the tournament. So I could see Duke falling down, maybe even as far as a 4, depending on how other things happen. I think everyone else is pretty solid. Louisville is going to be an interesting one to see. I mean, they did lose to the number 7 ranked team, but I mean, you know, who knows? It's going to be very interesting to see where they fall.
Wow. I mean, it goes to show you got to put together a full season if you want to really solidify where you are at the end of the conference tournaments. I mean, Duke 15-1 regular season, but a first round or quarterfinals loss rather in the ACC tournament could have an impact on them when it comes to the bracket reveal. Let's keep it moving. The America East, for the first time, a team not named Vermont was favored to win the conference. Stony Brook and Albany were the 2 highest rated teams. And as fate would have it, we would see them in the final, where Albany wins as the 2 seed, beating Stony Brook 78-67 to get the auto bid. Stony Brook had a 78 SOR going into the tournament, but Matt, they're got to be NIT bound, right?
Yeah, definitely NIT bound. Unfortunately for them, their wins came against a 335 SOR and a 211 SOR. So I don't see that boosting up to be in an at-large bid range.
Well, it's a tough way to end the season, but Stony Brook finishing as the 1 seed will get that NIT auto bid. Let's keep it moving to the American, where it was UConn and everyone else as they finished 26-2, a perfect 16-0 in conference. And the question really is, will we see a 1-bid American given the highest SOR besides UConn going into this tournament is Temple at 66, followed by Memphis at 75. So on to the results. We saw a small upset in the 4-5 with Tulsa beating Cincy. Our Discord zone, South Florida, couldn't get by Memphis. In the 2-3, we do see that the Temple Owls get a big win versus Memphis, 72-56, to advance to the title game against UConn, who had easily dispatched Tulsa. And in the final, Temple, could they stay off the bubble entirely and get that auto bid against one of the best teams in the nation? They don't even show up. They lose 80-47 in a game that will certainly not win them any style points. Matt, is Temple in?
They need to be holding their breath because, I mean, I could see they had some good wins over 101 in Tulane and 75 over Memphis. But, I mean, the fact that Connecticut is as highly rated as they are, I mean, it's going to be really close for them. They're going to be one that's going to be sweating.
Gotcha. Well, given where they sat prior to the American, the fact they made the final and put themselves in a position to possibly hear their name be called later on this call, you got to feel like at least they gave themselves a shot. UConn, just a wrecking crew, and I don't think anyone's going to be wanting to see them in the postseason. But let's keep it moving to the Atlantic Sun. You had Matt's very own Kennesaw State, who buckled a bit under the weight of expectations as they were predicted to finish first in the conference, but ended up finishing a game behind Citadel. We saw a minor upset in the 3-6 with Mercer beating Jacksonville while the top seeds held. In the semis, Citadel gets knocked off by 4-seed Stetson, opening the door for Kennesaw State, who destroyed Mercer by 22. And in the final, will Matt's team get it done? They do. They win the title with a resounding 78-56 victory. Congrats, Matt. That makes it, I think, 2 consecutive tournament appearances, right?
This is actually my first NCAA tournament appearance as a coach.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very, very excited. It's Kennesaw State's second. They were an 8-seed that made the tournament in S2, I believe, or S3. But this is my first appearance, and I couldn't be happier. 23 win season so far, and I'm just excited to see where we end up, whether it's play-in game, whether it's not. I'm so excited for the boys.
I mean, do we want to spend the next hour and a half just talking about Kennesaw State's postseason, expectations, or what? We could do that.
I could talk for 3 hours about Forrest Bims. I could talk for 3 hours about that guy. Anyways, we probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, we'll start up the Wednesday podcast that just focuses on players on Kennesaw State. So be on the lookout for more great sim content coming your way. Anyways, congratulations, man. Great to see your name called, and looking forward to seeing who your matchup is come Selection Sunday. Let's move to the Big Ten. All right, it's the always entertaining Big Ten, where you have 6 teams in the top 35 SOR and 3 of the top 11 preseason rated teams in Purdue, Illinois, and Wisconsin, but a Wisconsin team that ended up with a 5-seed in this tournament. Indiana sits squarely on the bubble with an SOR of 56. And an opportunity to solidify its bubble positioning in this tournament. Matt, I know you mentioned Indiana earlier when we were chatting through pre-conference results, tournament results. In the first round, Wisconsin helps its seed by beating Minnesota in the 4-5. Indiana squeaks by Michigan in that 3-6 game to help its cause. In the semis, Purdue defeats Wisconsin and Illinois stops Indiana, setting up the 1-2. We're in the final. Number 1 seed Purdue loses to Illinois 79-66. Matt, there's a lot to unpack here, but any seed implications for Purdue and Illinois after this tournament? And is Indiana in or out?
You know, I don't think we'll see any big seeding implications. If you look at their SORs going in, 19 and 20, that would kind of put in Illinois and Purdue maybe on the 5 line. But I think that with their performances here, I could see Purdue jumping up to maybe a 4, maybe Illinois with their 2 wins over top 27 teams. They could be potentially boosted as high as a 3. That'll be interesting to see. I'm very intrigued to see what happens with Indiana. 56 coming in. They did get a win over the 26th best SOR, lost to the 19th, but they're going to be 17-13 at the end of the day. So is that going to be enough for the Hoosiers? I think they're going to be, if they're not one of the last 4 in, they're going to be one of the first 4 out.
Wow. Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess they'll be waiting with bated breath for the selection show to start, but a great tournament as usual. Congrats to Illinois for getting past Purdue. And we're excited to see both of those teams in the NCAA tournament in a couple of days here. On to the Big 12, which was way, way down this season with only 2 teams in the top 50 SOR, including the number 1 SOR team in the nation, Kansas State, who finished conference play undefeated. Baylor is a team on the bubble, finishing 2nd in the conference, but with a 43 SOR, so they could use some wins. In Kansas, man, talk about unpredictability in the sim. The 29th best roster in the country, easily the 2nd highest rated team in this conference, and they finished 15-13 and 7-9 with a 70 SOR. But a couple of wins in the Big 12 tournament could easily see them salvage their season. In the first round, we see Baylor take care of business as the 2 seed. and Kansas gets out of that 4-5 game to set up what amounts to a must-win game versus rival Kansas State. So would the Jayhawks rise to the occasion? The answer is a resounding no. They get run out of the gym 77-50, while Baylor also loses in the semis 63-56, setting up K-State and West Virginia in the final. Kansas State takes care of business 79-65, finishing a perfect conference season. Matt, first, does Kansas have any shot? Second, is Baylor in? And third, is K-State a definite one seed?
I don't think that Kansas is in. I think they absolutely needed that win over Kansas State. Kansas State being number one SOR coming in. I mean, it's still going to be a good loss for them, but as they were already 70 coming in, I just don't see Kansas getting in. As for Baylor, that's going to be close. That loss to West Virginia could come back to haunt them. I think that they may have done enough, but it's another thing that's going to be really, really close. And as for Kansas State, yeah, they're a clear number one. I think you can mark it down them as them and St. Joe's so far as number one seeds for sure.
Yeah, I mean, any other year, maybe any other year, you have a loss or you have a win against a four seed in the Big 12, and that's going to be a good win. In this case, a win against Texas does nothing for you. And then and in any other season, potentially, a semifinals loss wouldn't hurt you in the Big 12 tournament, and a loss to West Virginia might actually do just that for Baylor. So a lot of drama coming out of the Big 12, however good or not so good it is. But yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out. Let's keep it going to the Big East, where the highest rated team in the sim resides in Villanova. You've got some interesting bubble stuff happening here with Georgetown as the four seed in a 60 SOR, Xavier as the five seed in a 48 SOR. So that's really an elimination game, it feels like. In the first round, Georgetown really puts Xavier in a tough spot by beating them 76-71. So the Musketeers are going to be doing some sweating come bubble selection Sunday time. The other top seeds held. In the semis, Villanova beats Georgetown and Seton Hall as the two beats Butler the three. And in the final, these two Northeast heavyweights duke it out, and Villanova claims the Big East championship 62-58. Matt, does that make Villanova a one seed? And what happens to Xavier and Georgetown in your estimation?
Yeah, I think Nova's made a very, very strong case. You know, coming in with a two SOR and winning your conference tournament is always good to potentially get a one. And I think they could be another one that that gets up there. Yeah, I think Seton Hall's safe. I think Butler's probably safe. I don't see them being a double digit seed. When it comes to Xavier and Georgetown, I think that if Xavier wins that game, I think that they get in the tournament. But usually the cutoff for SORs is usually in the 46-52 range, and they came in as a 48 and lost to a 60. So I don't think that's going to be enough for Xavier to get into the tournament.
Boy, all right, that's not what Xavier's head coach wanted to hear, but again, kind of cool actually to be talking about Georgetown and Xavier, given they both had fallen from grace for a long time, but both seem to have squads that should be competitive moving forward. Let's go to the Big Sky, everyone's favorite conference, the Big Sky, where Weber State boasts a top 40-ish roster, a top 40 SOR, but could also avoid some anxiety if they earn the auto bid. Let's just go straight to the final, because once again, we saw Weber State versus its nemesis, Idaho. And in that final, Idaho loses to Weber State 81-56. They couldn't pull off the miracle. Weber State leaves no doubt they are in the field of 64. Matt, do you have any indication of what Weber State's looking at in terms of seeding?
I'm very intrigued by this one because, you know, you have them coming in as a 39 seed, and they beat a 268, 206, and 180. And normally that would kind of bump them back a little bit. So that could drop them into like the 10, 11, 12 range. But we've seen in the last couple of years that some of these lower conference prestiged schools have been getting pretty solid seeds in the tournament. So I don't know, like, I really don't know what their SOR is going to look like. I personally would probably have them in the 11, 12, maybe even 13 range. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't see their SOR going up at all. But I think the biggest thing here for your bubble teams is if Idaho wins, that's a bid stolen. So Weber State win is good for the bubble.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, if you believe, I think I talked about this in the preseason podcast, if you believe experience matters, if you believe that roster continuity matters, then Weber State will be a team no one wants to play in the tournament. I faced them as Lafayette's coach in the 215 last season, and I think we played to a 4 or 5 point victory. But that's not a team that you want to see. And again, if you do believe there is some underlying part of the sim engine that rewards experience, then Weber State's got it. So be on the lookout, whoever gets matched up in that first round. Let's go to the Big South, where you've got a Longwood program that's starting to make waves in the sim as well as the Discord. They went 16-0 in conference. Winthrop is also in the mix here, finishing as the 3 seed, but really posing the biggest threat to Longwood based on their rating. Let's skip to the final, where we do end up getting the matchup we all wanted, 1 seed Longwood versus 3 seed Winthrop. And in overtime, Longwood beats Winthrop 81-78. Heartbreak for the Eagles and elation for Longwood and its head coach. Congratulations on your tourney bid.
And I don't know. Congratulations.
I was going to say, as Longwood's head coach, I think Longwood's head coach might even be in the Zoom call. So congrats to Longwood.
He's raising his hand.
Do I want to unmute here?
I wonder what he wants to say.
Yeah, I don't even know how to unmute, and I would do it, but I think it risks me shutting down this entire damn recording. So Longwood, if you can stick around for a bit and you want to chat through the moment, you know, we don't have a camera on your team, but if you want to talk a little bit later, we'd love to have you stick around. But congratulations on a huge win there. Let's go to the Big West with Discord stalwart Long Beach State entering as the 1 seed, but with 2 conference losses, so really no at-large implications here. In the first round, all the top seeds held. Same with the semis, giving us one of the more popular finals we've seen in the sim, Long Beach State versus UC Davis. And Long Beach State gets the job done, beating UC Davis 76-62. Congrats to the 49ers head coach on yet another tournament appearance. Matt, I don't know off the top of your head if you know how many times they've made it consecutively, but I feel like they're always in the field of 68.
They are always in the field. I want to say it's at least 3 or 4 years in a row, maybe 5. They've had a great run.
And they participate in Bracket Busters virtually every year. So it's just yet another reason to cheer for the 49ers since they are supporters of the sim and all of the features that we've tried to tack onto it, despite how much of a waste of time it might actually be. Let's go to the Colonial, where we expected a 2-horse race between Hofstra and Delaware State. Both top 30 rated teams going into the season, evoking the calls of hashtag 2BIDCAA. Surprisingly, Delaware State swept the season series and went 16-0. Both teams come in with bubble-worthy SORs. Delaware State at 56, Hofstra at 50, so let's see what we get. First round, mostly held, a couple upsets in the 4, 5, and 3, 6. In the semis, Delaware State barely beats Northeastern 73-72, while Hofstra destroys William & Mary, giving us the matchup we all wanted, 1 versus 2, Delaware State, Hofstra, and Hofstra loses to Delaware State 77-64, giving DSU consecutive tournament appearances on the heels of their Elite Eight run in S9. Matt, what kind of seed is DSU looking at? And is Hofstra on the inside looking out or on the outside looking in?
You know, that's a good question. Delaware State coming in at a 56 with a win over 270, 228, and 50. I am not sure where that SOR is going to go. I think I assume that's going to go up, and I would think maybe I could see them in like the 11 to 12 range, possibly more likely an 11 seed. Hofstra, ooh, I don't know. I mean, I got asked earlier about the possibilities of a 2-bid CAA, and I said that I think that if Chalk goes through to the, you know, to the final, then I think you should be good. But those first round upsets, you know, Northwest or Northeastern and William & Mary do not have very good SORs. So I think that could potentially hurt Hofstra, and they could be a first team out. If they're not a last team in, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a first team out.
Well, as a coach of a mid-major and even smaller mid-major before that, you hope Hofstra finds a way to get in the field and the program they've put together. So it'd be great to see that hashtag TVCAA, but we'll see what we get. I guess that's why better just to not even leave it to the committee and just get it done on the court. But unfortunately, Hofstra did not, in Delaware State gets it out of it 77-64. Let's head to the Conference USA, where for the first time, Marshall was favored to win the conference, and ODU in the rare situation of looking up at another team. Both teams finished 15-1 in conference. Marshall has a 64 SOR, ODU 79. Folks, we normally see craziness out of this conference, so we'll see if there's more to come in season 10. The top three seeds advanced to the semis, where Marshall wins at the buzzer 66-65 against Florida Atlantic. ODU beats Louisiana Tech 76-66, giving us that 1-2 matchup. And in the final, down to the wire, a mere margin of victory of 4 points. ODU loses to Marshall 85-81, giving the Thundering Herd the conference title. This team was rated 13.83, so this may not be the last you've heard from Marshall either this spring or this S10. But Matt, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, great for Marshall. It's good to see. You know, we've had the stalwarts of Conference USA and Old Dominion and FAU and Charlotte the last few years, Louisiana Tech as well. It's good to see another team kind of jump up there and make that conference more of an attractive place to go, you know, because they really have that. They have some great coaches up there and some great schools, but it's just not like a very deep conference. So it's nice to see Marshall get in. Old Dominion, it's going to be a tough one. I mean, the win over North Texas is great, but it's a 254 SOR. Louisiana Tech could help it at 92, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. I think that if they would have started in the mid 60s, they could possibly get in, but I think that starting SOR of 79 is probably not going to allow him to get in.
I mean, let's throw it to use Coach Bonier since he's in the Zoom. I mean, is he at least a lock for the NIT field and has something to look forward to for postseason play?
I believe that they should be a lock to the NIT. It's going to depend on how many number one seeds get auto bids in.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, ODU, it continues to be a great run at your program. So looking forward to seeing what the damage your team does in S11, but a tough break against Marshall. Congrats again to the Thundering Herd. Let's get to the horizon, where you saw Milwaukee sport a top 10 ranking in battling it out with Green Bay all season, both finishing 14-2 in conference. Green Bay with a 32 SOR and Milwaukee with an 11 SOR. Wright State on the fringe at a 66, sitting in that three seed spot. In the corners, we do see that the three seed Wright State did not show up, losing 79-63, and Green Bay needing overtime to beat Detroit in the 2-7. In the semis, Milwaukee and Green Bay both win by identical scores of 63-50, setting up that 1-2 matchup, where Milwaukee tries to keep its dream season going and beats Green Bay 72-67 to claim the Horizon Tournament title. What a story, Matt. Are both those teams in?
Yeah, they're both in. The biggest thing is going to be seeing where Milwaukee lands, coming in with an 11 SOR, beating two top 100 SOR teams. I could see them jumping up and maybe being a three, maybe even a low two, maybe even the fourth number two. Who knows? So they're going to be a very interesting team to see where they end up.
Wow. I mean, dream season, and you hope they keep it going coming out of the Horizon, which has historically been just a great conference to follow with some amazing coaches and a lot of drama as we even saw here. Let's go to the Ivy, where you had Penn and Princeton atop the standings yet again, seemingly destined for another finals matchup. Penn had a good season overall, but an SOR of 83, that probably means they need the auto bid. And indeed, we do get the 1-2 matchup, Penn and Princeton, for what I believe would be Penn's third straight tourney appearance, but I could be wrong. And Penn loses at the buzzer to Princeton, 59-57, a bitter defeat after a great regular season. The Quakers are NIT bound. Matt, you were on the opposite side of these emotions, winning as the 2 seed merely minutes ago. So I don't know if you have any parting words for Penn as they move to the NIT.
Your rivalry with Princeton is my favorite rivalry currently in the sim. So I know that doesn't mean much right now, but Penn Princeton is becoming my favorite rivalry. Just they seem to always match up in huge games, and it seems like one team wins one year, the other team wins the other year, and it's not the team that you think is going to win. And it's a fantastic rivalry.
I believe 3 seasons ago when they faced off, Princeton was the relatively heavy favorite, and Penn is the one who scored the upset. So, I mean, basically the regular season is just practice for these two teams to go against one another in the conference final until another team steps up, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. So congrats to Princeton. Tough break, Penn, but we'll still see you in the postseason. On to the Metro Athletic. I know we've got Monmouth's coach probably listening somewhere on here. And the roads have been cleared for his squad and all the rest of the teams here since one of the preseason favorites, Iona, was ineligible for postseason play. Monmouth struggled more in the regular season than expected, finishing 12-4. But with Iona out of the picture, they're a good 1.68 roster points better on average than the next best team in the field. In the quarters, Monmouth does win, as do 2 and 3 seeds, Quinnipiac and Marist. In the semis, Monmouth crushes Manhattan while Marist wins in the thriller 64-63. And in the final, Monmouth, off its own Elite Eight appearance last season, loses to Marist 65-61 in one of the bigger upsets of the day so far. Man, I am sorry to their coach. And we'll stick around. Hopefully he'll stick around to share his feelings, but understand if he wants to get away from the computer and get a cold one or something. But Matt, I don't think either you or I saw this one coming.
No, I definitely did not. And I actually have a very interesting query about this. So Iona is technically the number one seed, but they were postseason banned. So now that Monmouth lost, does that mean that they get the auto bid to the NIT? Because technically they're the number two seed, if you really think about it. So do they get an auto bid to the NIT? I'm very interested to hear that.
So basically, yeah, with Monmouth guaranteed postseason play, yeah, or would that go to Quinnipiac, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not even saying like if it would go to Quinnipiac. I mean, because technically, if you look at the standings, Iona was the number one seed, but they were postseason banned. So Monmouth gets bumped up to the number one seed in the conference tournament, but technically they didn't win the conference in the regular season. So do they get the same protection getting into the NIT, or is that technically still in Iona, even though they can't get in?
I'm willing to bet there's some precedent there. I have no idea. And I guess, unfortunately for Mama's coach, it's going to have to either tweet at Eli as soon as possible to find out this answer. And maybe he'll get the answer tonight while we're on this call and he can share with us. Or have to wait a couple of days to see the bracket come out. But bitter loss. Congrats to Marist on putting together a program defining victory over Monmouth 65-61. All right. The MAC, which is also crazy, where you had Kent State winning the conference title outright by 2 games with the 4th best roster in the conference. You have 2 teams that are on the right side of the bubble with Kent State and Miami of Ohio, and 3 viable bubble teams in Western Michigan at 68 SOR. Eastern Michigan at 55 and Ohio at 65. EMU's coach, I think in the Discord, said they needed a late season run. Will they get it here? In the first round, all the favorites win: Kane State, EMU, WMU, and Miami of Ohio. In the semis, Eastern Michigan with a massive win over one seed Kent State, 87-67. And Miami of Ohio handles the Broncos, 71-57. So in the final, we've got Eastern Michigan and Miami of Ohio. And Eastern Michigan pulls off the upset, getting them off of the bubble and into the field. Matt, what should we expect out of the MAC in the postseason in terms of teams that are going to get in?
Well, guys, I'm just going to say it. The MAC is back. It's been a while, but they are back. 6 teams in the top 100. They're back to where they were in S4, S5, S6. I think that we are good for 3. I think Kent State is clearly going to get in the tournament, coming in with a 12 SOR. I think Miami of Ohio is safe. And I'll say this. I think that Eastern Michigan, even if they would have lost that final, I think that they would have gotten in. That win over Kent State for me, plus the win over Ohio, I think that those 2 results themselves would have gotten Eastern Michigan into the tournament and stealing a bid.
Wow. Well, I mean, EMU's coach is obviously a great coach in Discord, and he said he needed a run. I don't know if we saw this kind of run coming, but I mean, they beat the 1 and 2 seeds by double digits to get there and to get this title. So again, maybe that's a team you're not going to be too excited about facing come postseason play, but congrats to EMU's coach if he's listening or whenever he gets a chance to get this result. Let's go to the MEAC, where Coppin State's 16-0 conference record belies the fact that they're actually the only 2nd highest rated team behind NC Central. And indeed, we get that matchup in the final, Coppin State versus NC Central. Coppin State completes the sweep, winning 71-66. Congrats to them. Heck of a program, it seems like. So they keep it rolling. And I can't remember what prestige they're at. I feel like they either just got a bump or they're on the precipice of getting a bump. But congrats to them nonetheless.
Yeah, agreed. And it's kind of interesting to think. I wonder what that conference would look like if Delaware State was still there. That would be very, very interesting to see with them, with all of their greatness lately, if they would, you know, how that conference would be.
Yeah, absolutely. I could have answered that not age old question, but, you know, with some of these conferences that have gotten really, you know, bottom of the barrel, what does it mean to be able to get an auto bid? What does it mean to try and get an SOR high enough that if you did get upset, you would actually, you'd still make the tournament. So we won't give that answer out of Delaware State. But congrats to Coppin State. Again, I think they've made it a couple times in a row, I believe, and also have a good program going there. So let's get to the Missouri Valley, where Illinois State was the regular season champs in a league that was about four deep. Illinois State's SOR is 37 coming in. Indiana State's is 45. Valpo at 80. Drake at 77. So some drama might unfold at Arch Madness in St. Louis. In the first round, the Sycamores get upset by 16 against Northern Iowa, putting them squarely on the middle of that bubble. In the semis, Illinois State defeats Drake while Valpo crushes Northern Iowa. And in the final, 1-2, Valpo loses to Illinois State. So the Redbirds will head to the big dance. Valpo looks like they're possibly on the outside looking in, or Matt, do I have that all wrong?
Yeah, no, Valpo's on the outside looking in. If their SOR was a little bit higher, maybe a 60 to 65, I could see them going for maybe in the at-large conversation, but I don't think that with the starting of 80 that they'll get in. I think the other one to watch too is going to be Indiana State. They were at 45, lost to a 147 in Northern Iowa. I think that could knock them out of the tournament.
I mean, I thought the 16-point loss was bad, but I didn't realize it was to an opponent that that was rated that low in terms of SOR. So if the Sycamores coach is listening, unfortunately, you got a lot more listening to do to find out your postseason fate. But we'll go to the Mountain West, where UNLV won the regular season and has one of the best teams in the country. But the surprise of this conference might be Abilene Christian, the sixth best roster in this conference, but finished with the fourth best record, and they're on the bubble, as Matt mentioned earlier. UNLV, Fresno, and San Diego State all seem to be locks. Abilene's got a 49 SOR. New Mexico has a 52 SOR. So there's some teams who might need wins here, and as fate would have it, Abilene plays New Mexico in that 4-5, so that could be a potential elimination game. And in that game, Abilene Christian scores the victory, 80-74. The rest of the favorites also won. In the semis, UNLV knocks out Abilene Christian and Fresno beats the Aztecs, setting up the 1-3 final. And in that final, UNLV gets by Fresno 70-60. Congrats to them. Matt, a few things. One, is Abilene in? And two, is New Mexico out?
Yes, I think New Mexico is out. I think that they absolutely needed, like you said, that was an elimination game. I don't see New Mexico getting in there. I think that if it was the other way around, I think if New Mexico would have won and Abilene Christian would have lost, I think that Abilene could have possibly gotten in with their 49 SOR, but I'm not 100% sure on how that would be. As for Abilene Christian, do they get in? Oh boy. They lost to UNLV. They have that eighth rated SOR on their resume there. It's going to be very, very close. Abilene Christian saying say yes in the chat. So I am going to say that Abilene Christian is the last team in. That's going to be my bold prediction. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, you heard it here first. We'll see what happens in a few minutes. What seed do you foresee for UNLV, by the way, after they just ran through this tournament?
They started as an eight. They did get some really good wins. They got two top 50 wins. But I think that they're going to remain a two, but I think they're going to be a high two. I think they'll be probably like in the, like the S, like the snake chart. I think they would be maybe like 5-6 and on that side of the thing. So that's my thought.
For for season 11, Matt is going to do a live bracketology where he explains the S chart and all the ways in which all the bracket principles. That's coming up in S11. Boy. So you're on the hook for even more great content for the sim. Anyways, let's go to the Northeast, where you've got Wagner, who went 15-1 in the conference, was a big preseason favorite to repeat as conference champs. Their only loss this conference season was to Bryant. Their SOR is 128, so they'll definitely need the auto bid. In the quarters, they took care of business, as did FDU, Bryant, and Mount St. Mary's, excuse me. In the semis, Wagner loses to FDU 71-67. That's a devastating loss, and I know a lot of us are feeling for their head coach right now, who's in the Discord. Mount St. Mary's smokes Bryant in the final. Mount St. Mary's wins by double digits to advance, but sorry to Wagner's coach, who had a great stretch there of postseason play and in the big dance, but unfortunately will not go big dancing this time around and will be headed to the NIT.
Yeah, that's a program that I know you and I have talked about this a lot, that we just have so much respect for their coach. We know he's been trying to get into another conference for years, for seasons, and you know, they keep coming close. They either get in or they're just like right on the precipice of getting in, and just, yeah, we're with you, Wagner. We're with you.
Yeah, discouraging loss, but we know that Wagner will bounce back, as they have done year after year after year. Tough one, but we'll see you in S11. On to the Ohio Valley OVC. If you follow this league, you know that SEMO was the huge favorite going into the season, yet Murray State somehow went 16-0 this conference season and has an SOR of 62, whereas SEMO has an SOR of 82. So this tournament really looms large for everybody on the bubble, not just those two teams. Murray State and SEMO indeed would make it to the finals to play each other after Murray State survived an overtime win against Jacksonville State. And in the finals, Murray State loses to SEMO 71-58, giving SEMO the auto bid. Congrats to their head coach. Some measure of redemption after a bit of a disappointing season for them. Matt, is Murray out?
Yes. Yep, they're out. 62 SOR coming in. Only their best result was a win over 152. They're just too far gone.
Damn. Okay. Well, I was kind of hoping for a two-bit OVC. I don't know when last time as we saw it, or maybe we saw it more recently than I thought, but Murray, would still encourage if the coach is an active listener or participant to listen in and see if your name is called in a few minutes. Let's go to the Pac-12, where you have six postseason eligible teams inside the top 60 SOR. I say eligible because Oregon got banned and they were, I think, a top 15 or 20 team. Cal and Washington, both top 10 rated teams, finishing tied for first. Arizona State finished tied for third at an SOR of 53. So this is a big first round matchup for them. And in that first round game, Arizona State loses to Utah 76-61. So they'll have to start the bracket reveal as well. Washington and Cal continue to advance throughout the tourney and did face each other in the final. And in that final, in a thriller battle of top 10 teams, Cal beats Washington 73-72, avenging their regular season loss to the Huskies. Matt, what's Arizona State's bubble status, and what did that final have any? Did that final have any seeding implications?
Well, Arizona State's they're going to be sweating for sure. They needed that win over Utah. I think that other things have happened that could be positive for Arizona State, but I am not positive for them. As for the top two teams, excuse me. I think that I don't know if Washington. I think if Washington wins that tournament, then they're going to get a one seed. But I think that loss is probably going to bump them down to a two. I'll be interested to see. I think Cal could possibly bump up as well. They're kind of going in. They were at 13, which technically would project them as a four, but. Yeah, they've got a win over the three. They've got a win over 22. I think that could be enough to bump them up to a three, maybe even a low two.
Yeah, it's a benefit of playing in the Pac-12 too. It's such a strong, deep conference that these wins definitely matter and can help when it comes to seeding time. But congrats to Cal and the very, very close win over Washington, 73-72. On to my former league, the Patriot, where it was a three-horse race between Army, Boston, and Holy Cross. Army was ineligible for postseason play. Let's go ahead and fast forward to the final, where we got that 1-2 matchup. And in that matchup, Boston University wins 80-61. So congrats to them. On to the Sun Belt, where Louisiana Monroe won the conference outright by 2 games and was the clear favorite coming into the tournament. Their biggest challengers would be Georgia State and App State. App State ends up taking out Georgia State, giving us a finals matchup of Louisiana Monroe and and App State. And in that final, Monroe loses to App State in an upset 67-55. That's a bitter loss for the Discord coach, who's been great during his time at this school. I will keep it moving with a few conferences left. Yeah, Matt, I know it's a tough one for the Monroe coach, again, who's been a good active Discord coach. And unfortunately, you and I both have been there before. So hearts go out to him. Well, let's go to the SoCon, where we always see batshit crazy stuff happen in this league. VMI won the regular season title and has an SOR of 44. The next best team was Chattanooga with an 89 SOR. In the quarters, all the favorites won. In the semis, VMI got past Tennessee Tech, and Wofford won a nail biter against Chattanooga 55-54. And in the final, VMI loses to Wofford 64-52 to claim the auto bid. So the SoCon doesn't fail to entertain. Matt, on the scale of 1 to 10, in terms of VMI sweating out this bubble, are they 10, or is that shirt soaking through? Are they a 1? Are they easy going as can be? I mean, how much are they sweating out this announcement relative to other teams?
They are going through multiple shirts right now. I would say this: if that loss in the final is to Chattanooga, I think that they're in, because that loss is to Wofford at a 131 SOR as opposed to an 89 SOR. I think that VMI could potentially be first team out, last team in material. So that's, I think them and Abilene Christian are, I think they're right in the same boat. I wouldn't be surprised to see them possibly matched up. If they both make it in, I would love to see a VMI Abilene Christian match up in the play-in round. That'd be awesome.
This fucking conference, man, never ceases to amaze or entertain. Congrats to Wofford. I don't know if he's listening in, but he's got something to celebrate tonight on Tuesday, October 19th. Let's get to the SEC, where there's only a few more conferences left, folks, and then we'll get to the bracket reveal. Missouri claimed the regular season crown a season after winning the national championship. 8 teams have an SOR of 61 or lower, so there's a lot at stake here. In the quarters, all the favorites won. In the semis, Mizzou squeaks by A&M 66-63, and Ole Miss beats their in-state rival Mississippi State 77-66. And so in the final, Missouri destroys Ole Miss 79-53 to get that auto bid and really just have a ton of momentum going into the Big Dance. Matt, did anyone else's bubble get burst here? And what seed do you think Missouri might get?
I think that Missouri is probably good for a 3. I don't think it's good enough for a 2. Technically right now a 15 would net them a 3, but I don't see them bump it up to a 2. I think that South Carolina probably saw their bubble burst. Their game with Texas A&M was a clear elimination game. I also think that Georgia probably saw their bubble burst. Even though they were a higher SOR team than Mississippi State, you know, Mississippi State still, that they're going to be one to watch too. I mean, Mississippi State coming into the conference tournament at a 59 SOR, getting a win, but then also, I mean, going 1-1, I don't know. That's another team that could be right there at the end of the day.
Man, SEC is crazy deep, or at the very least competitive. And this is all without Florida, who got the postseason ban as well. And they had, I believe, the top 3 roster. So some crazy shit happening out of the SEC, and we'll see which teams actually get in. Let's go to the South. And I don't think there's any active coaches in the Discord, so I'm just going to fast forward to the final. New Orleans came in as the 1 seed and they finish it off. I feel like, they beat Lamar 81-66. It's like death taxes in New Orleans in the Big Dance. It just seems like it's every year at this point. But Matt, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we always see them at the end of this tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to the Summit, which I think continues to be a sneaky good conference. South Dakota State won the regular season of 14-2 and 25-3 overall with a roster rating of 12.38. A number of teams are close behind them, though, in terms of ratings, so this should be competitive. we got a collision course between the Jackrabbits and IPFW. And in that final, South Dakota State shuts down IPFW 68-48 and will go dancing for the second consecutive year. Congrats to them. On to the SWAC, where the three best teams were Pine Bluff, Texas Southern, and Grambling State. Let's fast forward to the end. I don't think there's any active Discord coaches who are in these leagues. We got Pine Bluff versus three seed Grambling, and in a buzzer beater, Grambling State wins 68-67 to make the tournament. I believe in the first time either ever or forever, Matt. I don't know if you remember hearing Grambling State's name called in the past few seasons.
I believe they've made the tournament in the past. I want to say that them and Arkansas Pine Bluff were like 1-2 for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And I think Grambling, I want to say this is like Grambling's like third or fourth appearance, but it's been a while.
Gotcha. Well, congrats to Grambling State. I have no idea who coaches your team, but you're tourney bound nonetheless. Let's go to the WAC, where it's been New Mexico State for so long now. They finished the season at 13-3, winning the regular season title. Rio Grande has been trying to close the gap. We got no upsets early, so the final indeed was New Mexico State versus Rio Grande. Would this be the season Rio Grande gets over the hump? It is not. The Aggies win 81-67, giving New Mexico State the auto bid yet again. Tough break, but hopefully that coach comes back even stronger next season. I know he's been at it for a while, doing some good things on the recruiting trail.
I think he will. I think he's just getting punished for stealing a recruit from me back in S3.
I mean, at some point you gotta let bad guys be bad guys, and maybe that the bad juju will come off that program. But yes, can settle it in Discord DMs or whatever. But last, certainly not least, the WCC, where Loyola Marymount had, by its coach's own account, a dream season, finishing 15-1 in the regular season, number 16 SOR. BYU and Gonzaga finished tied for second at 13-3. BYU has an SOR of 71. Gonzaga's is 54. And St. Mary's is at 73. So there's some bubble stuff happening here, basically. Remember, Gonzaga is also on the precipice of losing their Prestige 1 status, if you recall from the preseason podcast. In the quarters, LMU sneaks by San Diego. St. Mary's does get past Santa Clara. BYU and Gonzaga both win. In the semis, LMU crushes St. Mary's and possibly their at-large hopes. Gonzaga also beats BYU, leaving the Cougars to sweat out Selection Sunday. And in the final, we get 1-2. And in the title game, LMU loses to Gonzaga 73-66. Somehow Gonzaga does it again. I think it's like legit borderline absurd how much this team has come through in the WCC title games. But Matt, what do we glean from the results here that we see on this page?
I think that even if Gonzaga loses that title game, I think that they're in. They've just had an amazing season, and you know, they always seem to put themselves in the right spot and turn it on when it's right. And yeah, I think that they're going to be a really dangerous team. I'm very interested to see where their seeding lies. Coming in at a 54 SOR with wins over 178, 71, and 16. I'm very intrigued to see. I don't know how high I would put them, to be honest with you. I think that maybe an 11 or a 12 possibly, but I don't think they could go any higher.
I mean, I love that this is the last tournament, because it, again, always seems insane to me. You just get some sort of fun result. Teams on the bubble, active Discord coaches, Gonzaga just being Gonzaga. So yeah, this just, again, it's wild. Gonzaga was not the top rated team going in, and LMU's, again, had a dream season, as they put it. So anyways, congrats to the Zags. So I know this is the moment that some of you have been waiting for. Honestly, I actually think the conference tournament results are my favorite part of this, because you get so much drama. Before we get to the bracket reveal, Matt, let's go through your latest version of bracketology, if it shows up. There we go. As a reminder to everyone, Matt did not get the final bracket before his bracketology, so this is as real as it gets in terms of where his head's at. Let's see how he ends up doing, Matt. Break it down for us, and apologies if this is an eyesore.
Yeah, so this year I didn't get SORs either, so I kind of guessed on that. I feel very confident with the teams that are getting in there. There's a few that, I mean, Alabama's kind of, I mean, they're kind of an iffy one for me. I was very, Temple was kind of, you know, I don't know, but I mean, I like overall, I like what's there. I'm interested to see, you know, kind of that middle section of the bracket between 7 and 10. There's just a lot of teams that, you know, it's kind of a mixture of teams falling from early conference losses higher and like winning coming up from lower. I'm very interested to see how it does in comparison. I don't think it's going to be as good as it has been in years past, but I'm fairly certain that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed you have Duke here as a 5 seed. So that first round or quarterfinals loss seemingly does hurt them in terms of their seed line. And then you've got Virginia Tech. I mean, you know, on the other side of that matchup in the 1-8, you have them as the 9 seed here. So squarely in after their postseason run. But and I noticed you have Indiana as well as Abilene Christian, who's on the call. I know he loves to see it, but you feel pretty good about them making the field, huh?
I do. Yeah. I think it was a good loss to UNLV, and I think it should be enough to get them into the tournament squarely.
All right. Well, I guess this is the moment that folks have been waiting for. And so we'll take this team by team once my Zoom moves forward. So first let's announce the 1 seeds, and thank you again to Minnesota's head coach for providing the graphics package initially when we did this last season, because we're obviously repurposing it now. For the 1 seeds in the Midwest region, Kansas State, they do get the 1 seed, 16.2 roster rating. In the East, you do get Villanova, who Matt had predicted as well. In the South, there's UConn after sweeping the American regular season and postseason tournament titles. And then in the West, St. Joe's, who finished number 1 in the A-10 and then had their conference tournament title as well. So those are your top 4 seeds, Kansas State, Villanova, Connecticut, St. Joe's. And let's get to the rest of the bracket. In the Midwest, as I mentioned, 1 seed Kansas State will play 16 seed winner of Grambling State and Boston University. So that's where you get Grambling and Boston in that 16 matchup. The 8 seed, Minnesota, the 35th best roster in the country, facing off against Radford, 43rd best roster in the country. That should be a heck of a matchup, Radford out of the A-10. 5 seed, Fresno State out of the Mountain West, facing off against 12 seed Texas A&M. So A&M does make it after that SEC postseason run, and they'll face off against Fresno. The 4 seed, Illinois out of the Big Ten, the 9th best roster in the country, facing off against 13 South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits make the postseason tournament again, where we imagine one of these years they're going to make a lot of noise, but they'll get Illinois in the 4-13. On to the bottom half of the bracket, 6 seed, Illinois State. So that's where the Redbirds end up, facing off against 11 Hofstra. So you do see a 2-bid CAA with Hofstra making the tournament. Matt, I'll get your thoughts in a minute here when I finish this bracket. 3 seed is Duke. So a little bit different from what Matt had predicted. They didn't get hurt as much as one had suspected. 3 seed Duke against 14 seed Marist, the Red Foxes, while winning in that upset against Monmouth. 7 seed Green Bay, the 25th best roster in the country, 28th. And then 10 seed Michigan State. That should be a heck of a Midwest matchup right there. And then 2-15, you have California, who gets that 2-seed bump after winning the Pac-12 tournament against Longwood. So Longwood making their, I believe, if not first tournament, at least in recent memory, this is one of the ones that they have made. 2-15, California, Longwood. I'm going to stop there for a second, Matt. Hofstra got in. What else are you noticing on the page right now?
Hofstra as an 11. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure about that one. Two wins in the conference tournament, that's great, but against not good opponents. And then, I mean, a good loss to Delaware State, but that would mean that their SOR probably rose. I'm not certain about that one.
Man, I mean, again, for folks in the bubble who are listening in, I don't know if seeing Hofstra on the page is doing anything for your blood pressure, but this should be a heck of a bracket, and we'll break this one down more after we've revealed the rest of the teams in the round of, in the field of 68. On to the West. 1 seed, as mentioned, is St. Joe's out of the A-10. facing off against, there they are, Kennesaw State, the game 16 seed, looking to make noise in the tournament. They'll face off against St. Joe's, who, let's face it, is the worst one seed, at least in terms of rating, even though they beat me two times in the regular season. 8 versus 9, you have Utah against Michigan. So that's a battle of sim heavyweights, or at least historical heavyweights. In the 5 versus 12, you have Clemson out of the ACC against 12 seed Baylor. So Baylor does get into the tournament out of the Big 12, and they are the 12 seed playing against Clemson. 4 seed is Loyola Marymount out of the WCC, so they still get a 4 despite losing in the conference tournament final. Going off against winner of VMI and Abilene Christian. So two teams that were squarely on the bubble are going to be playing each other for the right to play Loyola Marymount. We'll get Matt's thoughts in a minute here, but let's get through the rest of this bracket. 6 seed Ole Miss out of the SEC, facing off against Marshall as the 11 after winning the Conference USA tournament title. 3 seed Milwaukee. So Milwaukee goes all the way up to 3 after their amazing season to go up against 14 Long Beach State. I don't know if that's the team they wanted to face in that 3 versus 14. 7 and 10, you have Weber State as that's got to be the highest the Big Sky team has ever been seeded in a tournament, against 10 seed Gonzaga. So they're all going to stay out west and play that one. Weber State versus Gonzaga. And then 2 versus 15, Washington, as I believe it's the third best, or maybe it's top 5 roster in the country, as a 2 seed going off against New Mexico State out of the WAC. All right, I'm going to catch my breath, Matt, while you break down some of what you're seeing on the page.
Okay, so here are my thoughts. First of all, to VMI and Abilene Christian, it was so hard to not say anything watching you guys in the chat. I mean, seriously, I'm just like, oh, I just want to tell you guys you're in. But, you know, just a very congratulations to both of you guys. I mean, you guys really, all honesty, I think I put you guys in as two of the last ones anyways. And congratulations to you guys. Other things that jump off the page to me, Milwaukee is a 3. Very, very interesting there. Weber State is a 7. Yeah, like you said, Big Sky team's never been rated that high, and I'm very interested to see what their SOR finishes after their Big Sky run. Also, that pod down there, Weber State, Gonzaga, Washington, New Mexico State, that's going to be some great basketball there. Absolutely great basketball. And finally, I'm going to quote what I saw in the chat earlier. Kenna came, Kenna saw, Kenna conquered. We're going all the way.
I mean, you're there. You might as well make yourselves heard. So I'm pulling for Kennesaw State, especially against one of my A-10 rivals. Yeah, this is crazy. The Weber State thing. I'm gonna have to go back and see who they played on their team schedule to even warrant that high of an SOR, because they seem to be up there for the majority of the season. So they might have gotten some big non-conference wins. But yeah, I think the match I'm looking forward to the most is Milwaukee Long Beach State, just because you got a 49ers team that seems to always be in the postseason tournament. You got a Milwaukee team that probably isn't content just getting there. Given the season they've had, they want to make a run. So a lot of excitement out of the West.
And how about Loyola Marymount? They get the winner of that hungry, hungry game between VMI and Abilene Christian. I'm going out on a limb and saying whoever wins that play-in game is going to the Sweet 16.
All right. Wow. You heard it here first. So we'll see what happens out of the two. Maybe you're saying it because you got some fans on the call who heard good news be broken just a few minutes ago. But no, crazy stuff out of the West, as usual in the heat check sim. Let's get to the East, where you have that 1 seed Villanova, the best rated team in the sim, facing off against winner of New Orleans and Appalachian State. So both of those teams will face off in the first 4. North Carolina as the 8 seed playing number 9 seed Wisconsin. So that is a battle of heavyweights in big divisions or conferences. 8-9 North Carolina, Wisconsin. In your 5-12, you have the Leopards of Lafayette coming in at 5 against 12 seed Virginia out of the ACC. So I'm going to reserve my commentary on that one and get through the rest of this. 4 seed is Purdue in this bracket. 4 seed Purdue with the 5th best roster in the nation against 13 seed SEMO, who has a 34th best roster in the nation. bottom half of the bracket. Six, Miami of Ohio out of the MAC. Congratulations to them going off against 11 seed Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's run does get them in the tournament, as Matt predicted. Squarely in is the 11 against that MAC Miami of Ohio team. 3 versus 14, Missouri coming in as those SEC champions. And 14 seed Coppin State, who we saw got the conference tournament victory earlier. 7 and 10, San Diego State out of the MWC against 10 seed Delaware State out of the CAA. That's going to be a tantalizing matchup. We've seen Delaware State in that game before. 2 versus 15, Wake Forest. 15 seed Princeton out of the Ivy. Yeah, Matt, this is going to be a fun one, it looks like.
Yep, my bold take from the East region is whoever comes out of the top half of this bracket is going to win the national championship. I mean, that is legit group of death right there. Legit group of death. I mean, look at that. 17.08 for Villanova, 16.0 for Purdue, 15.6 Lafayette, 15.25 Wisconsin, 14.9. I mean, you've got seven of the top 34 teams in the country are in the game, are in this bracket. It's, yeah, this is going to be where the championship is won right there.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't say you're not battle-tested if you make it out of this gauntlet. I think, yeah, five of the top 13 teams are just in the top half of the bracket. So that should be wild. Although we did see, and maybe it's just worth, you know, for the story of the sin, that Missouri, you know, got a favorable draw last season when Arizona got knocked out early, and they ended up getting past Delaware State in a mini upset. But, you know, there is some history of teams taking advantage of those who get worn down earlier in the tournament and being able to have a bit of an easier path. So maybe that top half of this bracket actually wears itself out. We'll see what happens in a few days here. All right, last but certainly not least, the South region. UConn, the one seed out of the South, as we mentioned earlier, facing against Mount St. Mary's. 8 seed St. Louis out of the A-10, excuse me, facing off against 9 seed Butler. So you have a nice Midwest matchup there. The 5th seed in this bracket is Louisville out of the ACC, facing off against A-10 St. Bonaventure. So the Bonnies do get in after all in that 12 seed. 4th seed is Seton Hall after their loss in the Big East Championship against 13 seed winner of Temple in Mississippi State. So some bubbles also got burst just now. We'll get Matt's take here in a minute. Bottom half of the bracket, 6th seed is out of the Pac-12, UCLA, going up against 11 seed Eastern Michigan after their run in the MAC tournament. 3 seed, Florida State out of the ACC, a team that doesn't get talked about much, but I think all they do is make the tournament, it seems like. 3 seed, Florida State against 14 seed Albany. Terriers playing that matchup. 7 and 10. So if you're on the bubble, this is probably your last hope. Kent State against Arizona. So you've got the Pac-12 and the MAC there. And then UNLV as the 2 seed in the South against Wofford. So, whew, man, there we have it. South reactions, Matt.
I think that this, like right there, Purdue said the chat, UConn with a cakewalk to the Elite Eight. Yeah, I think that this bracket is set up for UConn and UNLV to match up in the Elite Eight. It's, I mean, there are some other teams in there that are solid teams. I mean, Louisville is not one that you can just write off, or Seton Hall is not one you can write off. But I just think that UConn and UNLV are on a collision course. Another thing that's kind of interesting there, you have two Pac-12 MAC matchups there with UCLA, Eastern Michigan, and then Kent State, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So very interesting there. One other thing, Mississippi State getting in there. Did not see that one coming. I had them on my last four, or my last first four out. I missed on them and Hofstra. They were the only two I missed getting in, but congratulations to both of those teams. And I'm interested to see what happens in the tournament as we get going.
Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, in this region, all I'm seeing is a collision course between UConn and UNLV, but there are obviously some teams who might have a say in that. I'd actually be really interested to see if Arizona and UNLV matched up you know, if they did match up, how that one would go, given we saw Arizona falter as the favorite a season ago. But what about when they have lower expectations? And we've seen UNLV make it all the way to the Final Four, I believe. So that would be, I think, an incredible 2 versus 10 matchup if somehow that were to happen. Matt,
yeah, that's the other thing too. That's the other thing too, is Arizona's the 10 seed with the 21st best roster. So that they're, you know, you can't just look at that 10 and just kind of assume that they're going to be a cakewalk. I mean, that's a really solid team. It's been here for years, knows how to get it done.
I agree. And I want to go through the other regions as well, but I'm going to quickly just fast forward to bids by conference. This could be bad math by me. I try to count them manually, but here you've got the ACC with 7, Big Ten with 6, Pac-12 with 5, A-10 with 5, and then a number with 4 and 3 and 2. Again, that most notable one, the CAA with 2 bids this season. I do want to go back to a couple other regions, and then we can bring other coaches in. But let's go to the East real quick. I mean, in terms of this, like the Midwest, actually, yeah, I'm sorry. You could make a case that the Midwest is the region of death. We can go to that bracket a little bit later, but the upper half of this bracket is insane, as I mentioned. If you're Miami of Ohio, I feel like you have to like your draw here, all things considered, as a 6. And again, same thing with Delaware State, who we did see make their Elite Eight run out of the 7-10 slot a year ago.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. If you look, I'll have to take a look at the other ones too. But here's Delaware State's also a 10 seed, but they're also rated higher than San Diego State at a 14.4 to a 13.8. I wonder what the other ones look like, whether the 10 seeds are actually rated higher than the 7 seeds. That's something I'm going to have to go look at later on.
Well, we could answer that question right now. Yeah, I mean, Arizona's much higher than Kent State as a 10 versus 7. So that answers your first question about that. On the other 7-10, Green Bay is a 7. They're higher than Michigan State. And the other 7-10, Weber is higher than Gonzaga. So I guess you got 2-2 there. But yeah, this should be a heck of a matchup. I just feel like Miami of Ohio, again, all things considered, you got to like your draw. And by the way, with a program that I believe returns everybody, so they're only going to get stronger next season. You want to talk for a second about the West?
Yeah, we could definitely talk about the West.
Let's go here. So for me, at first glance, this looks like the easiest region. Washington has to love being the only roster rated above 15. But if winning actually means something in the sim, then St. Joe's, you know, they put together a pretty fucking remarkable season. I love that Marshall's going to have a real chance to beat an SEC team in their first round matchup. And then Weber State, again, I think they're the story of this bracket potentially. But also what a bonkers 8-9 here too, like I mentioned earlier. But yeah, those are some of my initial observations.
Yeah, exactly. And then the winner of the 8-9 is going to have a daunting task against Kennesaw State. So that's going to be very interesting to watch there. I'm still just looking at VMI Abilene Christian. I just think that, you know, one of those teams we're going to get a UCLA in the NCAA tournament situation. One of those teams is going to go on a run. I feel like they're kind of peaking at the right time, especially VMI. I think they're peaking at the right time, and I just, you know, we're going to get that one of them is going to make a very good run.
The question is, which team is Mick Cronin coaching, VMI or Abilene Christian? Or we're going to have to find out who's got that kind of pedigree in a couple of days here. Let's go to the, let's go to the Midwest. That's our last, not our last one. Let's talk about Midwest briefly. And then do we take you to the phone lines and see if anyone wants to unmute and chat a little bit about this?
Absolutely. I've got another 15 minutes, so I'm good.
Okay, cool. So for this one, like I said, I don't think Duke got done many favors winning the ACC, getting the 3 seed, and then you're in the same side of the bracket as Green Bay and Cal. Not to mention top 30-ish squads, Illinois State and Hofstra. And then I reference it as the group of death. If you, depending on how you define the group of death, 4 of the top 10 rated teams in the nation are in this region, and a team like Fresno, who is out of a conference that's been known to make a lot of noise in this tournament. But again, between this and the other bracket, I think it's debatable what's actually the hardest bracket.
I think I'd go with the other one. That top half is just, I mean, there's so much quality up there. And at least with this one, it's kind of spread out a little bit. And, you know, you could make a case for 4 teams legitimately getting, you know, to the Sweet 16. But I mean, at least in that one, you know that only one of the eight's going to get out alive. And, you know, that's kind of where I would justify that one as the group of death over this bracket.
I mean, I just reading this stuff again, it feels like Christmas, at least over this household. And unfortunately, we get to do Christmas,
absolutely,
like, you know, five times a year, however often Sim actually runs. Eli, if you're listening, please keep us going, man. This is all I have in my life. Let's go to the phone lines. I can't tell. I feel like there's one hand up, maybe two hands up.
Delaware State's got their hands up right now.
Okay. I'm going to ask him to unmute.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Great. So we got a two-bid CAA like we've been dreaming of for years. So Hofstra, if you're listening, good luck to you. Hopefully we can have an all CAA finals. So I don't know which region's paired with which, so that might not be possible, but hopefully we can have an all CAA whenever Final Four finals, whatever. And Murder Hornets represent. And we're going to be coming back stronger. And if you misbehave in the Zoom again, I will sick the Murder Hornets.
We got the resident bodyguard to make sure that he's got our back. And like I said earlier, man, that 7-10 slot has treated Delaware State well, literally only a season to go. So if there's any team that knows how to make a run coming out of that 7-10 game, it's them.
And to answer your question, Delaware State, it is possible for an all-CAA final, just so you know. Right now, we've got Minnesota with their hands up.
All right. I just asked Minnesota to unmute. There we go.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Minnesota, eight seed Minnesota Gophers, excuse me.
Pretty disappointing the fact that I was seventh overall in SOR pretty recently, but pretty fitting to where my team actually stands. I think it's pretty fun that I'm playing Radford. We actually used to have a non-conference standing matchup from, I want to say, seasons 3 through 6 or something like that. So I dominated them back in the day, but they are much better now in the A-10 than they were when I was crushing them in the Big South. So pretty exciting there, but Kansas State crushed us in the regular season, and I'm hoping just to win one game this postseason.
I mean, you've got a good history against A-10 teams since you beat my team 2 years in a row. So I guess if there's any history going for you, that's a piece of it. But I mean, yeah, it's that 8-9 game is just it's awesome because I mean, how close are those teams? 35 and 43, your roster rating difference is 0.16 or something like that. So it's like the true toss up, as it were. So I'm pumped. How's your team looking next year, by the way, since we have you in the line?
It's unfortunately I'm so scared to lose players to the draft these days. I went full of recruiting, even though I had one senior. I got two good guys in the top 75, but so I'll probably improve a little bit, but not enough to make a big difference. I'm losing 4 seniors next year, so I'll probably have to go full recruiting again. But we'll see. So I may be more future bound here, but I'm just excited to be in the dance and overperform this year, but I'll have a lot of seniors next year. So we'll see if that matters.
Yeah, well, I mean, I speak for everybody else in the Discord when I say thanks for all. Again, well, thank you personally for the graphics package. Like I said, it's coming clearly handily here as I've copied and pasted a bunch of shit. But also, thank you for the draft analyses and all that stuff, too. I know a lot of us get a kick out of it and probably scrutinize that stuff more than we care to admit in our free time.
No problem. Good luck with everybody.
Thanks. We got Purdue, I think, wanting to
yes.
to jump on. Let's unmute this guy. All right, Purdue, do we have you?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd like to lodge a formal complaint to the selection committee.
Okay.
For the top half region of death.
I'm pulling it back up on screen just for those who are on the Zoom and want to take a look. But yeah, needless to say, when I got the bracket, I wasn't very pleased myself. So,
yeah. So, well, Dave, you and I played, and I think you beat me in a close one. I also lost to North Carolina and Villanova. I scheduled pretty aggressively this year, so I guess I'm going to have to go on a Michigan football revenge tour where I actually don't beat anybody. So, that's probably what'll be my my fate. I'm complaining, which means I'm probably going to lose to SEMO. So
I mean, that's not a fun match. I mean, a 13 seed that's got the 34th best roster in the nation. So I don't think Eli did you any favors, but yeah, this one, you actually were one of my signature wins, I think, because my team definitely didn't perform beyond, I think, playing you in K-State. But when I saw this bracket, like your stomach just drops a little bit. Because, I mean, how do you have Wisconsin as a 15.225 and they're the 9 seed against a team that is barely worse than they are?
Yeah, they're actually, based on SOR finishing the year, they're actually my worst loss. And I think they were like 30th or something. Wow. So. All my 9 losses are to quality squads, which is great. But, you know, I obviously did me no favors here. So I'm actually just looking ahead to S11. I'm actually going to go the opposite way because I'll have a pretty similarly rated team next year. So I'm gonna schedule weak and see what happens.
I don't know how that works. And I know we have, I think Longlin wants to jump on too, so we'll get him on in a second. But I don't understand. I really don't understand how the calculation of strength schedule works, because I feel like I schedule it almost the exact same as what I did last year in very hard non-conference. And my strength schedule was far worse. I think I was in the maybe low 20s or 30s, whereas I believe I had like a top 10 or top 15 strength schedule last season, which helped me get a 2 seed. So I'm honestly kind of baffled by how that system works.
Trust me, I've been trying to figure out SOR since like S6. I have no idea.
Yeah, that is the one thing I forgot to ask Eli in advance of this call, was getting the final SORs, but I'm sure he'll publish that tomorrow with everything else. Let's get Longwood on the call, if indeed he's wanting to chat. I've just unmuted him.
Yeah.
Hello? There.
Hello.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I just want to say a few things. That I enjoy the sim a lot. Enjoy the podcast. Before this season, in the first 9 seasons, I'd had a combined 2 conference tournament wins. And I had 3 this year. And wow. I'm also on a 22-game conference win streak. So I'm like,
nice.
I'm trying to hold it in. I'm trying to hold in how giddy I am. And my team should only improve. I have 5 freshmen. So,
I mean, are you putting Cal on notice in this 2-15 matchup or what?
Yeah. how many 2 seeds have won in the sim? I think there's only about 5 or so that have won in real life, but maybe I can be one of the first ones to win in the 2-15 seed.
So remind me, because yeah, apologies for not remembering. How long have you been Longwood's head coach?
Since season 1.
Since season 1. Okay, wow. Gotcha. I mean, I almost awesome. Have to ask at this point. Like, I mean, yeah. What's been spurring you on? Have you? I mean, did you think about going to other programs throughout the past, you know, 9 seasons? And yeah, I mean, I can only imagine how much sweeter it is now, given you broke through in season 10.
Well. I actually went to Virginia, so that was the team that I chose first when I wanted to join the sim, but the guy who's had Virginia has never left it, so I've never been able to take it over, and so Longwood is like right down the road, so that's the reason I've taken Longwood, and I've just figured I'd stick with it. I will say that recruiting as a Prestige 6 team is a lot different than it is mm-hmm. for the upper teams. It's very yep. difficult, and just
yep.
suddenly I don't know exactly how I did it, but I had a really good recruiting season last year, and again I should have an improved team every year for the next 3 years. So trying to hold back my giddiness here, but I finally have a good team. I've Asheville and Winthrop have been like 1 and 2 in the Big South for years, and I've been like 3rd to 5th, but I'm on the verge of a dynasty here. Like I said, I 22 games in a row, and I just should just only improve from here.
I mean, a couple of things for me. One, on the recruiting piece, sometimes like the break is actually what region gets more inactive coaches, because your competition can vacillate pretty dramatically, I think, season over season, depending on who's actually actively recruiting. But also, is Virginia's got to be maybe the most represented coaching community in Discord, right? You've got you, VMI, VCU, George Mason. I mean, like countless programs out of what is not a very big state, all seem to be highly active in this program, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, and I'd like to echo to your saying about recruiting in P6. It is so difficult. And, you know, I started out at Idaho State, and, you know, it was really tough, especially out west. So that was back when the West was just like an absolute, just the OK corral out there. And then moving on to South Dakota State in the Midwest as a P5, it was, you know, but going back to the Southeast as a P6, the thing that I've learned is just for me is just you can't recruit in this current season. You really have to look, you know, 2-3 years down the road and just try to build a core, find a core to build around. I was very lucky to find my first year, get three really, really good transfers coming in on top of two really good freshmen. And, you know, we're going into next season with five seniors, two juniors and a freshman at a 12.5 rating. And, you know, when things click, it works out. It's so great. And I echo everything that you're saying there, Longwood, and congratulations to you. And I'm really, really excited as a fellow P6 to watch your progression over the next few years.
Yeah. He's saying in the chat that transfers saved him, and he crushed it on the transfer trail. I can't remember how many he got. It was like two or three out of, you know, the top handful, if I remember correctly. But that was cool to hear Longwood chime in. I didn't realize that he'd be tuning in tonight. So that's awesome. I think unless there's other folks who want to have their hands raised, I see. Okay. I believe Christian, I'm going to ask you to unmute. Here you go.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I mean, we're probably not doing as well as you're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to regain my composure. VMI, we're taking a couple, you know, like old school, just naked laps around the house. Only made it about 3 or 4 before I puked. Just beside myself right now. I do, you know, I want to shout you out, Matt. You know, I think I'm going to speak for VMI here. We appreciate the shout out about us, you know, making a run or something. But I mean, it's going to be a score of like 2-0. I already said in the chat, my guys aren't going to score any points. I don't know if they'll show up. We're just going to be partying all night. It'll be a win if we can make it to the game. The win already happened. This is a big day. Big day for ABC.
If I had to like bet which coaches actually went to the schools that they are coaching, like I feel like you'd be one of the people that I would pick. watch you be from like Alaska or some shit, but I just seem like a ride or die for Heavily Christian. So
yeah, no, the funny thing, I live in Minnesota, went to Wisconsin, and but I do now own Abilene Christian Apparel. I'll say that. Although I'm not like some of the cool people that I think like maybe it's like Old Dominion or some other people, they got it gifted from like their wives and family. I just bought it for myself after they won the real life game versus Texas. I said, screw it, Amazon purchase.
Yeah, I feel like at some point I'm going to have to make a pilgrimage to Easton, PA as a Lafayette head coach just to see what that place is actually like. And I think all of us probably can admit that we watch our teams like play just a little bit more during the regular season in real life, just to see like how they do or what they like, and hats off to any coach that actually adjusts their strategy based on their real life program. Cause I feel like I should be looking at Lafayette's adjusted metrics to see if I should go like higher pace or lower pace or some shit that would take the sim to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, congrats again, man. Thank you, guys. That was one of the thrills I know for going through this the past 24 hours. Unless we got anybody else, I know we got some loyal listeners, and I'll just take this time to say thanks again to folks who you know give enough of a shit about the sim to one, listen to me drone on and get my jollies like actually doing this podcast, but for listening to Matt and I and just enjoying this and contributing to it. I think it's a really cool thing. And I know a lot of our spouses, partners can attest that they see us probably more giddy than usual when we're doing these sorts of things and on the Discord. So thanks to all of you. Like I said, at the top of the call, I will get this thing posted on Anchor so folks can listen. And if they didn't have a chance to tune in, I'll also post the deck so you can see the narrative that we tried to deliver here today. That's all I've got, Matt. Anything, any lasting words from you? And can we get your commitment today that you will be doing this kind of work again in S11 or not? Putting you on the spot.
Well, my final words for tonight are just, congratulations to everybody who got in. It's fun to do this and actually be involved and actually, have my team in there, and just, it's very, very exciting. And I'm really excited to actually have, a rooting interest going into the tournament. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And, as for S11, I think that S11 will be a little bit more, there'll be a little more content from me, but I think S12 will definitely be back to full on stuff. I don't do as much with high school basketball as I do with high school football, but there'll definitely be a little bit more time to put some more stuff out there.
All right. Well, I mean, your bare minimum is better than most anybody's best. So, well, I think I speak for everyone. I say we'll take whatever the fuck we can get in terms of bracketology and doing this with you, man. It's always a real pleasure for me just to get to bullshit with you about the sim for an hour or two. And congrats. I can also speak for everyone. I say we are all Kennesaw State fans this weekend when the first batch of results comes out. So pulling for your squad. Please take down St. Joe's, I think it is. Yeah, take down St. Joe's because that's the only A-10 team that's not worth cheering for.
We want Bama. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, good chatting, man. Like I said, I'm gonna shut this down and try to get it downloaded and posted. But on behalf of Matt, thanks again to the folks who are listening in live and the folks who will be listening over the next 24 hours. Matt, glad to hear family and friends are doing well and safe. Good luck with the rest of the high school season, and we'll see you come tourney time.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Cheers, guys. Take care.